listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Gary Riley.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Between the Stripes LOI podcast, Series 10, Episode 14. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you. We're brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. And our charity bet partners are Bar One Betting, who we're certainly not taking to the cleaners this season, it's fair to say, Gary.
Yeah, but another bad week, was it?
Another bad week.
Right. Okay. We may start doing the doubles or something. Mm-hmm. We're being taken in by this Saka boost that's going on.
How was your bank holiday weekend, aside from football?
It was okay. Football was bad. but yeah, got through it. Nice, good weather, etc. So yeah, but look, it's football that we care about.
It is indeed. Yeah, a bit to get through, obviously. There was the games Friday, games Monday. So we'll do our usual thing. We'll look at the winners, the losers, who came out okay. We've obviously got a managerial departure to talk about, the first of the season. Usually always seems to be around May, doesn't it, that a manager goes? I think I remember last season or two seasons ago, I think this is when Stephen Kenny came back to Pats. Last season, I think this is when Ian Ryan came into Athlone. So always just seems to be in around this cut. But just before the summer break, teams are keen to get a bit of business done.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't remember any. Was there anybody earlier in years past that you can think of?
Oh, I'm sure there has been.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, Waterford are quite keen on a managerial change, nearly like the Watford of the League of Ireland at this stage.
I think this is
going to be their fourth manager in the last year, is it?
Just wouldn't be too far off.
Mm.
Your boys come in and replace Long, and then the other boy came in. Then Daly
Sheedy
came in.
Sheedy there for a while. That was a disaster too.
Yeah. Just different variations of disaster, but they had a good result there yesterday anyway, so that was some.
It's not much good to them, is it?
Yeah, but it's better than a 3-0 slaughtering, like, you know what I mean?
No.
Something has to be done, so.
Already 11 points adrift of Drogheda in 8th.
Yeah, no, not ideal.
Sure, we might as well just continue on this trend and start the show by talking about John Daly. It was obviously no great surprise.
No surprise at all. Probably just surprise it went on as long as it did, really.
Yeah.
Not a great start to the season. They've been really... I think the thing that we've always thought about them but this season with Waterford is their this lack of organisation. I think you've said as well how poorly drilled they seem to be.
Yeah.
So, you know, these are bad combinations. And when even with the firepower that they have, they're still a bit goal shy going forward. They've only 12 goals scored this season, and that's only one better off than Sligo. So, yeah, they've drawn 6 games so far. Another one there last night against Dundalk. Haven't been able to turn that into a win all season. So if you go 14 games without a win, I don't think it's a surprise to anybody.
No.
I do, just maybe as a tangent already, but was that McDonald reporting that there might be a bit of pilly ownership decision-making going on?
Yeah, well, look, I think we've touched on it recently when we were having discussions about finances within the League of Ireland. I think it's well known that Fleetwood are absolutely hemorrhaging money at the moment. I think Dan McDonald was reporting that maybe they're looking to offload their Irish operation. And their season's just come to an end recently over in England. I think they're probably focusing elsewhere than Waterford at the moment.
Well, I think, like I would say, that, you know, when you get to the end of the season and you're losing over 100 grand a week with the team, you know, there was the jewel in your crown, let's say. And you look at like, oh, Jesus, I'm not losing 100 grand a week here in Waterford, but I'm losing 20 grand a week in Waterford. I could do without that. You know, if you have a couple of holes in your bucket, it's great to get one of them plugged. And I think it might be very difficult to, let's say, get rid of, if you want to sell on Waterford, it might be difficult to get rid of, considering like the current contracts and stuff like that. There's a few big names there, so might be an interesting situation going forward from an ownership site point of view.
Yeah, so we were well on the record about our feelings on multi-club ownership. We've been against it from day one, but I think in the early days of the Fleetwood Waterford link up, we would have been quite positive about it because they were bringing in quite a high caliber of player from the UK. And just in the last couple of years, I don't think they've got that same level of player. They haven't got the Phoenix Pattersons and the juniors of this world in the door, and they're suffering as a result. But they have invested. I mean, Conan Noonan, we've talked about that big transfer fee they paid to bring him in. And as I said last week, as much as I think there was a lot of shortcomings from the manager, John Daly, this season, the players haven't delivered. They haven't performed.
No, they have not. But I unfortunately, I think it's more down to the setup, really.
Here's one for you now. I was speaking to Shane Keegan earlier on today on League of Ireland Lowdown, and he said that he wouldn't see this as being an overly attractive job at the minute. Would you agree with him there?
Well, like, sure, how does anybody get in a manager to manage a team that's in a relegation battle without a win all season? You know, we were over a third of the season gone, not close to a win, it appear. And I can understand the point about it not being an attractive job, but it's still a job in the Premier Division. And you do have some really good players that you probably could get your teeth into in a metaphorical sense. I'm sure there's some Waterford fans that might do it another way, but I think it is an opportunity to I think Waterford have to take a risk on somebody. You need something to happen here. You've mentioned that the previous ringer that they've brought in has actually gone on to the big job at Fleetwood. Mm. So that's not an opportunity. Well, maybe he could come over for the summer. I don't know if that would be an option, but yeah, I just think it's going to be very difficult for someone to come in, no matter what way you slice it. Like, yeah, I don't think there's much.
Are you thinking they'll be looking to appoint internally from someone that knows the league, or are they going to go down the UK route again? Or will finances just to dictate the whole thing?
I think the finance have to dictate the whole thing. Mm. You want someone that you probably want someone local. You know, John Daly went back to Scotland after Pats, isn't that right?
After Dundalk.
Dundalk, excuse me.
Sorry, he was an assistant at Galway last season, wasn't he, for a short spell? So.
Oh, so he was knocking around the place.
Mm, but he did go back, you're right, he did go back to Scotland, obviously, yeah.
Yeah, and he did mention that it wasn't a thing for his family and everything like that as well. So I can't imagine he probably wasn't living in Waterford on his own machine.
But look, he knew the league, so that's not the be all and end all. We can oversell that at times.
What, that he knew the league or didn't know the league?
Yeah, he did know the league. So, and look how it's gone. So it's not the be all and end all.
Oh, no, sure. Jesus Christ. If Alex Ferguson came in, I'm pretty sure he'd win the league with Waterford by the end of the season. Like, he doesn't need to know about the league. That is definitely overrated. It's like the same shite that you hear about all the time when one of the 100 managers in the Premier League gets booted on. You know, he knows the club and he knows this and he knows the way and all this other bullshit that people go on with. That's bollocks, and it probably has been bollocks for probably 25 years or more. It just you just need to get the players on the pitch to score the goals to win the games.
Uncertain times, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, but like I say, I just don't know who, not that, not even who's available, like who would suit this job is a difficult one. Probably, I'd say the ownership will probably look to the UK, would be my feeling. They need someone that they can trust rather than someone that knows the league.
Hmm. we'll see how it all plays out. We will dip into some of the action on the pitch over the course of the bank holiday weekend. We'll start with the winners in the Premier Division. The only team that got 6 points from six was Shamrock Rovers. They're back to the top of the table, so they are the big winners, Gary.
Yeah, great weekend for them, no doubt about it.
You wouldn't necessarily know it from Stephen Bradley's comments, though. He gave them a right scalding in the media after the Waterford game. He wasn't happy with their performance there.
I suppose a 1-0 win, when you look at it on paper, isn't overly exciting. But I think a few of us went that way in their predictions.
I think we said it last week. They don't really open up on teams, play within themselves a bit. But it almost caught them out, because as Waterford were, you know, 1-0, they still believed it was possible. Padraig Hammond had a couple of chances. They were just hanging around in the game, which is always a danger. So I think Bradley felt that they could have dropped two unnecessary points there. So he's probably right to come out and give them a bit of a going over, because I suppose he let them off the hook a bit in Derry the week before with the circumstances of that game that we touched on last week's show. We don't need to go over all ground again, but he didn't really go in hard on his players. It was kind of, look, it's one of those, we'll move on. But he obviously wasn't happy with what he saw. So I think he's right to probably come out there and
keep
everyone on their toes.
Keep everybody on their toes. And look, they did get a better reaction on Monday.
Definitely.
You know, so like he knows he has that in the back pocket. If he needs to open up on the team, if he feels they need it, then he'll go and do it.
He's been a busy man in the media. Just to go, sorry to go off on another rabbit hole here. Obviously, we had that Ireland squad named today for the game against Granada and Murcia, which I'm going to. But
you poor man.
He isn't happy that Victor Ojemvuna hasn't been called up. He said he can't believe he's not in the Ireland squad. Now, I think Heimer's come back and said, look, there's still a spot or two open. I think he kind of threw a dig Bradley's way in kind of saying we weren't aware that he was available, because Stephen Bradley was totally against the idea of that January training camp, you might remember. I think you might have kind of been on Bradley's side in that argument, but it's not great that the league winning manager and the national team manager just seem to be constantly clashing in the media. It's not ideal.
Well, to be honest with you, it's entirely irrelevant. I'm well on the record saying, like, I don't think there's a player in the League of Ireland, bar maybe. Well, you know, I did have to eat. I felt like I needed to eat some humble pie. I need to reevaluate a lot of stuff in my life after that Armenia game. And I think one of the things I mentioned was Holohan should have been in the squad, but that was obviously just a very emotional reaction to what I was seeing and what I saw. So I was, in not good form. But, like, I don't know. Is there like a direct line to Stephen Bradley to the national media? What did you think about this, Stephen? Like, it's very like, geez, we have a Damien Duff sized hole in our viewership. What do we need to do? Let's get another, obviously not as big a name as Damien Duff, but let's get someone in to piss all over someone else. Why is Stephen Bradley making a comment about this? Yeah, he should have been in the squad. Yeah, he's not.
But he was probably. I only seen the comments. I assume he was asked. I doubt he was kind of talking about his team's performance and just come out and said, "Oh, you know, by the way, Victor should be in the Ireland squad." I'm sure he was asked.
Yeah, probably. But like, I don't see. I don't really get the point of it. I'd go for the Ireland job again, or I know that was another piece of grief.
I think Heimer made a good point. Victor hasn't been in an under 21 squad yet, so I'd view that as the next natural step and see how he gets on there.
But that doesn't suit the media, and it doesn't suit Stephen Bradley to talk about that. You know what I mean? Like, if that is the case, I haven't a clue. But like
this, it's kind of a messy window, because it's actually not a window. It's not an official international window, this game against Granada. Would you have been in favour of League of Ireland players being called up, even though it would have caused massive disruption? You wouldn't be in favour?
No, I wouldn't have been in favour of it. Not at all. Put it in.
Why
the middle
is that? Is that because of the disruption it causes to the league?
Yes. This game is nothing. I don't even think there's points for fans going to it, is there?
There is, yeah.
Oh, there is.
Yeah,
great. But like, who? I get the, I totally get the point. Like from Heimer, Like, if the chap, what age is he now?
Victor.
Yeah.
He's still a teenager.
Right.
17, turning 18.
17, turning 18, right? Let's see if he can make a jump into the 21s. You know, it was, you know, before, I'm not saying this is of wholly the case, but like, there was a period of time where, like, no one gave a shit what anybody was doing in the under 21s. Now it's been brought more to the fore, and like, you know, we'd all be watching the games, and I've been to a few under 21 games, not in a few years, but I have been to a few. And like, you'd be aware of the players, you'd be aware of the lads that, like, you know, you'd be keeping a tab. Oh, geez, that lad, yeah, could he make a senior appearance? Yes, definitely. Would he make a senior, you know, you'd be looking at another, oh yeah, he could get into the squad right now at 19 playing in the under 21s or whatever. But this fella is 17. Like, this, he could have picked any lad that's an Irish fella in the under 20, and he could be saying the same yarn. It could have been Victor, it could have been anybody else, he would have said. It wouldn't have mattered to anybody else who Stephen Bradley picked out of his squad. Oh yeah, he should be in the senior team. Like, it's, you know, Wayne Gross could have said that, oh yeah, Sean Moore should have been in the squad. It's the exact same thing. I don't hear about it from him anymore, to be quite honest.
So anyway, look, a good weekend for over 6 points gathered up. Shelburne, great. From speaking to the Dundalk fans, they were very impressed with Shells on Friday. And look, I know they only got a draw last night, but they're in a much healthier situation than they were a week ago. It takes a bit of the pressure off Joey O'Brien.
Yeah, well, absolutely. A good away win was definitely needed. They were on such a bad run of games. They were scoring lots themselves, but they were just conceding more. Mm. And they still conceded three over the two games.
Yeah.
But on this occasion, they scored four. So they're on the right side of the result on Friday. Yeah, it was an important turnaround. But they're still, you know, when you look at it, you know, they're 2 points behind Derry in fifth. They have a game in hand. There's a game that was missing. When was that called off?
A couple of weeks ago, yeah. Can't remember who it was against, but
so, you know, if they win that game in hand, not saying that's a gimme, but you know, they put them up into fifth ahead. Yeah,
well, at the moment, Dundalk are one of the European challengers. Now, whether they can maintain that, there's question marks over that, given their current little blip that they've finally hit. But they've beaten a direct rival at this moment in time for a top four spot. So that was a very important win on Friday for Shelburne.
Yeah, it was, of course. And look, I do have reservations about the staying power for Dundalk. They've proven me wrong so far, to be quite honest. So maybe they can prove me wrong for a bit longer into the season. But definitely, it was an important win for Shelburne. I wouldn't be looking too deeply into it from a Dundalk perspective either.
We'll get to Dundalk. Yeah. I know they only got 2 points across the bank holiday weekend, which you'd usually view that negatively if you can't pick up a win between two games. But I think for Galway to come from two down against St. Pat's and get a point, and to get a point against Derry City away from home, I know that they were unlucky not to win that game, Galway, but they just continue to be a tough nut to crack this season. That's three consecutive draws now against Derry, against Galway. And okay, they'll be disappointed again. They conceded a late one against Waterford. So I know, as you always say, if my auntie had stones, but if they'd held on against Derry, held on against Waterford, they'd be right up there with the likes of Dundalk.
Yeah, they would. Yeah, look, as I said, I'm not looking too deeply into it. But I suppose, you know, with the difficulties that they've had, they kind of, you know, gotten out of that to an extent, would you say? Like they're picking up points. They've lost five. They've 1-4. You know, the weekend was a bit of a kick to the stones away to Derry. Could they have held on? But I think a really good result on Friday against Pats. 2-0 down, bringing it back. These are all positives and shows that they do have the hardiness required to stay with teams and pick up points when they need to. Because, like, I know everybody keeps telling us about how everybody was writing off Galway and how they'd be last and relegated by June and all this other shit. Like, I don't remember that.
I did.
That much.
Hands up here. I did. I thought they'd be bottom.
Okay. No, but there you go. That's fine.
So really for me, they were the only three winners over the course of the weekend. In the middle of the road was Drogheda. They had that very important win against Sligo. It wasn't a classic at all, but given Drogheda's run of form, that was a very important win against a team around them on Friday. But then they took a right pacing off Shamrock Rovers. They probably got some of that Stephen Bradley backlash there on Monday night.
Yeah. I think, there's no difficult, there's no difficulty in losing to Shamrock Rovers in Tala, but obviously you still need to do it in the right way if you are going to lose.
Mm.
It probably was a bit of a backlash, as you mentioned, from Bradley and Rovers were. But I think not even Bradley, and I'm not saying that he didn't have a part to play in it, but like I think the players would have understood, oh, that was shite. They won the game on Friday. That was great. But I think they probably realised themselves that they needed to bring it up on Monday night and get the 3 points in a convincing manner and not have that like squeaky bum feeling. From Drogheda, they probably just came at the right wrong time to play Shamrock Rovers. I think they're kind of, is that the kind of Drogheda we're going to see now for the rest of the season, where they're going to be win a game, lose a game, concede some goals?
Yeah, they've conceded a lot more than you'd expect. Like, we've spoken so highly of that partnership this in recent seasons, Quinn and Keeley, and even Bulger there when he stepped in, and the fullbacks, Kane and as well. But 24 conceded and 14, that's very undrawed like. But when
that is very undrawed like,
when they had a run of what was it, 7-8 without a win before that goal fest in Talca last week, it's probably not surprising that maybe the goals conceded is slightly on the higher side. We'll see if they can stabilize it a little bit over the coming weeks.
Yeah, they need to as well. Like, it's it is a bit of a. It is a serious problem. Well, it's not a bit of a problem. It is a serious problem. They need to turn off that tap at the back.
They're not the only ones, though. I mean, the Dundalk 23 conceded, Shells 24, Galway 20, Drogheda 24, Sligo 19, which actually looks quite favourable compared to everyone else, and Waterford, obviously, the worst of the lot with 28. So defence is not on top in the division this year.
No, they're certainly not. I think you mentioned Sligo there, probably a little bit of an outlier towards the bottom half of the table. Well, no, they've only scored 11.
They're the Longford of the Premier Division.
Yeah, they are indeed. Mm-hmm. But yeah, look, I think for Drogheda, they need to tweak something at the back, because they're not fantastic going forward. So it is something that needs to be addressed sooner rather than later, because you know, a bit of a gap opens up there, and next year you're mixing it with Sligo. You don't want to just be caught adrift in a relegation battle either. So,
yeah.
The other thing is, I know we're talking about other teams, but just from a Drogheda perspective, next thing you know, Waterford get a good manager in,
yeah,
and he turns it around. I know there's 9 points between Waterford and Sligo in 9th and 10th, but like, you know, that's only a few wins, and considering the amount of goals that have been flying around in this division, it wouldn't be the greatest stretch to see them bridge that gap. And next thing you will try to have a different problem to deal with. They just want to get a bit tighter at the back. Just one more thing. The keeper for Drogheda, not saying that he's the cause of it, but Dennison has been out with the squad for the last little while.
Yeah, you criticised him for one of the goals last week against
Shells,
and we got a message from a Shells fan saying he thought you were very harsh on the keeper there, because Boyd, he could have squared it either for the old FIFA tapping.
Boyd, Ronaldo 9 here, doing the keeper, sitting in the arch. Come on.
Anyway.
That was shite from the keeper. Go back and look at it, anybody. It was garbage.
On to the losers. St. Pat's failing to win either of their games, and they relinquished top spot as a result.
Yeah.
I mean, it was the Chris Forrester show early on against Galway. It looked like they were going to run riot, and then let the lead slip there and couldn't get the job done away to Sligo either. So, yeah, very disappointing bank holiday for Stephen Kenny and co.
Yeah, well, to go 2-0 up is a way to go up is great. As you mentioned, the Chris Forrester show, like as much as my criticism of him, you still can't leave him, you know, unmarked 10 yards out of the center of goal. You know, that's an illegal act, really. Very, very poor defending from Galway. Need to be way better than that. It was desperate. But to be fair to Galway, they did drag them back into it. But no matter what way you slice it, to be 2-0 up away from home and to come out on the wrong side. Even like Pats did have chances, they did create plenty of chances. It could have been, you know, one or two more goals up. But to be fair to Galway, they dug in and got the goals that they needed. You mentioned, does it really matter that they relinquished top spot? Not really. Doesn't make that much of a difference, to be quite honest.
Why do you say that?
Still a lot of football to be played. And like, you know, we know that Shamrock Rovers are going to fill the togs a couple of times throughout the season. All the Pats need to do is just keep in touch and not, you know, leave themselves at work.
Pat's not going to do just as much tog filling.
Yeah, no, they will, but like they just need to keep themselves.
Well, then they need to be in front, don't they?
Oh, this is a terrible, terrible weekend. Worst thing that can happen.
It is, and they've thrown in these little sequences throughout the season where they have a good run and then they drop a couple of points in games you wouldn't expect them to drop points in. Were they a tad unfortunate in Sligo? There was a lot of talk about one of the penalty decisions there in that game. There was a lot of talk about the referee in that game, full stop. But I thought the Sligo penalty was a ridiculous call.
Ridiculous?
Yeah, ridiculous.
How was it ridiculous? He kicked the man.
He was already on the floor when he kicked him.
Oh, right. Okay, so just go around booting lads that are already on the floor. It's okay, is it?
You can frame it that way if you want. He brushes his shin pad with his
toe. Oh, brush me bollocks, man.
No, I won't do that, thanks.
Yeah, no, go way over. Go way over. I thought it was a terrible decision. And then I look at it on the replay and the Sligo player dicks in, takes the ball. Your man boots him in the shin. It's a penalty. There's no question about it.
It was a bit like that Conor Keighley one in Talca. I think Keighley admitted with his own action. He just walked away. He was like, yeah, I've caught him. As minor as the contact was, but I thought this was in the softest category.
Yeah. No, it wasn't near soft. It was a stonewall. Easy decision. Well done, ref.
Okay.
No question about it. Great call by Levy, I have to say though.
He's cooking.
Yeah, he is. Okay. He's playing well. And
if there was to be a few League of Ireland players called up to any sort of international squad,
I don't care who it is. No, I don't want to know about.
But if there is just a squad of League of Ireland players, he would definitely be called up.
But also if there was like only a squad of St. Patrick's Athletic players, he would be called up. Like he's a very good player. And he's having a very good time in the league at the minute. I don't really know, like what people want here.
He needs to get on the magic plane, does he?
Look, the magic plane is a thing. It has always been a thing, and you know what? We definitely question it, and I've questioned down in years past. I question it to a degree, in the sense that as soon as he touches down on British soil somewhere, oh shit! We better get this lad in for the Ireland team. I'm not saying that, and I've never agreed with that, even though that some managers or some international managers have done that. I just don't think. I think what we have there is much better. Simple.
Okay. Derry City. I said on recent shows that despite those back-to-back wins against Shells and against Shamrock Rovers, that I was still far from convinced with them. And thank you, Derry. You backed up my point by not winning either of your games over the bank holiday.
Yeah. good result away to Talca, good result at home to Shamrock Rovers, even though the game was shite. Yeah, Bowes won all down in Daly Mount, and then rescue job. Yeah, exactly. So
that was a fair. Who got that goal? Actually, it was
on
last night.
Oh,
it was a great goal. Santos, was it?
Was it?
Yeah,
I can't remember. It was a good goal.
Dropped the shoulder and a little. That's what Michael Duffy usually does. So fair play, Mr. Santos. You filled the Duffy role there.
You're paying attention. Look, like, fine. I thought the goal actually that they scored on Friday, was that a mistake from Travatska?
Yeah, it was. He's generally had a good season, probably one of the better keepers in the league. That was poor.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, but he really wasn't helped by his defense. I thought they were very slow, or not very slow. They did get there, but like there wasn't really great blocks being put in there. Dawson Devoy comes across and doesn't really get his body in front of the shot. But I don't want to be too harsh on Dawson. He's having a great season. But yeah, that you can see why Bowes are dropping points left, right, and center. But yeah, just another okay weekend for Derry. They're really going to do nothing this year. I don't think. Another. I don't want to say it too early, but it's probably another write off of a season of some description for them.
Yeah. We'll just tidy this up quickly because we've touched on a couple of these teams already. We've talked about Waterford at the top of the show. Bad weekend for them. Sligo, just the 1 point as well, and losing to a direct rival in Drogheda. Did well to get a point against Pats, but overall not a great weekend when you lose to one of your direct rivals. You touched on Bowes there, just still conceding too many goals and not scoring enough. And you wanted to touch on Dundalk earlier. As I said, they have finally hit a little bump in the road, which we probably expected at some stage. Unfortunate maybe not to win that game at the RSC yesterday, but just 1 point from the two games. Still sitting fourth, still sitting pretty, but is this the start of a wider drought upcoming for Dundalk, or can they pull themselves out of this funk?
I think they definitely have the ability to pull themselves out of this funk.
They're playing Bowes next as well, by the way, at home on Friday.
Oh, that'll be an interesting game.
But what did you want to say about Dundalk earlier on?
I do think they've shown enough of quality and enough hardiness that, like, you're still a promoted team. You know, they've probably overperformed so far this season. I don't think they're probably about it.
No.
So they have done reasonably well. Well, not reasonably well, quite well up to this point. I don't think that, you know, there's any need for DEFCON stations at this point. They're going to lose games across the course of the season. It's just a fact. Like, there's no surprise to this. So the fact that, as you mentioned, a bit of a blip or a bit of a funk, that's fine. It's probably just reverting to type to a degree.
And they are starting to pick up a few injuries. Maioa went off last night. We haven't seen Vinnie Leonard in quite a while, which is a bit of a concern. And
We're probably never going to see him again, really.
Because of the move.
Yeah.
And we're seeing something, like, obviously we're only speculating, but we touched on it on a recent show about Billy O'Neill, how little we've seen of him with Bray this season since his move to Bristol City was confirmed. So you just wonder if that's maybe something that's
in the back of people's minds
there. As I said, I will be going to Oriel on Friday, so I might get chatting to Kieran Kilduff about that maybe, and we'll bring you what he has to say on the show next week. But I'm going to Oriel, I'm not going down to Wexford.
Right.
Yeah. Went to UCD on Friday, and I never say this about a game of football. I massively regretted going to the bowl on Friday, but we'll get to that later. But just on Dundalk, we haven't seen Danny Mullen in a good while either. He's got a bit of an injury, so
it's just going to happen. Like, do you know what I mean? It's just a fact of life.
Yeah, but I'm just maybe there's a reason they've hit the blip now, just without a couple of players, and probably don't have the squad depth that maybe some of the other teams around them have. Yeah. So, right, that's the Premier Division. First Division, the only team that picked up 6 points from six was UCD. They're now top of the table. I think that kind of crept up on everyone, didn't it? I mentioned on a recent show we had a a comment on our Spotify from a Cork City listener that we're not talking enough about Cork. Well, geez, we'll be talking about them tonight because they have been dislodged from the top by the students.
Yeah, undeservedly so. Saw them on Friday against Longford. They were very good and full value for the win.
Did you think so? They were full value for the win. Very good. Didn't create a massive amount of chances. Now, the pitch is, I'm afraid to say again, in rag order, rugby.
Yeah,
it's
shite.
The pitch is terrible. It's doing serious damage to UCD there. It doesn't help their style at all. I just didn't think they carried a massive amount of penetration or threat about them. That was the only thing. But the way they controlled the ball and moved the ball was the best I've seen of any team this season. And I said the same about them when they played Longford and it ended 0-0. But I just would be concerned that they don't have that same penetration. I mean, Cork, I thought the defeat to Cove on Friday was a bit of a freak result, really. I mean, Maguire himself could have probably had a couple of hat-tricks. They had some amount of chances in the game and didn't take any of them. Now, their performance on Monday night was atrocious away to Kerry. Very, very poor. Deserved to be beaten there. But the Cove game, I think you play that 99 times out of 100 and you win that game probably 2 or 3-0. It was just a real freak result. So
I think that was Cole's first win in the Munster FA Turner's Cross.
I heard that. Yeah, I heard that one. Obviously, it's Kerry's first win over Cork City as well. So, a couple of seismic results there. But just stick with UCD there for a second.
Like, I know what you mean by the game on Friday where, yes, they weren't exactly tearing Longford apart. And Longford were
horrendous,
and were the architects of their own shite and conceding the goals that they conceded. I actually, just as an anecdote, I brought along a friend of mine to the game on Friday. He hadn't been to a town game in a long time, and I said to him as we were crossing over about the 39th minute, I was like, right, this is the zone of terror for Longford. He goes, what do you mean? The 5 minutes before half time and 5 minutes after half time is where we like to shit all over it. And he was laughing when the first goal went in because I had predicted it so well. And then predicted the second goal almost the same way. Very, very poor from the set pieces, and unfortunately for Longford, the 3 goals that they've conceded over the weekend were all from crosses.
Mm.
So 2 of them were from corners, which is bad, conceding like that from set pieces. I thought both of them were very poor concessions. They're almost 2 free headers, and the first goal was another nearly free header. Cross wasn't stopped and the other fullback didn't really challenge for the ball over the far side. So yeah, just a bad weekend for town. But just on the creation side, you know, it's interesting that, like, I don't think UCD created that many chances that needed saving, let's say.
No.
So they were kind of, to be fair to Longford, they did kind of limit them. But I think they have the game control tuned for them right now. There was a time maybe 10 minutes in the first half for Longford where I thought they were controlling the game, but that went away and didn't really return for the rest of the game for Longford. I thought UCD weathered that storm quite well.
And as I said, for them to control the game so dominantly on a bad pitch, they were controlling the game by keeping the football and constantly moving the football. To do that on such a bad pitch is very impressive. So if they can get on a better pitch soon, then they might start actually creating a few more chances. Do you see them as genuine title contenders? Is this just a little bit of early season drama that we weren't expecting?
I think it's more early season drama that we weren't expecting. You know, you mentioned that Shawny Maguire could have had 5 or 6 against Cove. You know, you're going to have games that just stuff doesn't fall for you, you know, whereas like, you know, Osasier, who has scored 2 for Longford this season, when, you know, he might go another 5 years. Well, I hope he doesn't, but he mightn't score again. You know what I mean? It's just the way stuff goes.
The where... only the thing with Cork City is
yes,
the pressure there now is huge on the players and the manager. They are coming in for pelters. The Dermot Usher stuff's back in the social media cycle again. That was always going to happen. It's just like Rennie at Bowes, bad run. The knives are out. It's the exact same with Usher, but that is Turner's. They're probably better off away from Turner's Cross now for the next while.
No, I don't believe that for a second. Like, that was the first two losses of the season. They could go on another run of 10 or 12 games.
Yeah.
Winning 8 of them, drawing 3 of them. You know what I mean? Like, it's not that you're going to have bad games. You're going to have bad results. You're going to have shit that happens. I think I remember a couple of years ago when I think Longford's first win of the season after like 15 games was against Wexford. I remember a few Wexford fans were like, that's the end of the manager. Like, if you can't be expected to get into playoffs if you lose against this Longford side. And Longford were bad at the time. This is 2 or 3 years ago, whenever it was. And Wexford ended up in the playoffs quite comfortably come the end of the season. So,
yeah.
Like, I'm not... I don't want to hear any crying, really. Cork lose the first two games of the season. Happened to be one after the other. They're probably going to... I don't know. Get out of the bed tomorrow.
They're playing UCD on Friday, so we'll talk about that one later on.
Yeah. It's not world ending, lads. You know what I mean? Like you know, I'll show you problems.
Elsewhere, Kerry. Look, we've been very critical of them on the pod in recent weeks, and rightfully so. I would argue, but they obviously beat Cork City for the first time, and they drew their game away to Athlone on Friday, so a point on the road. That's a very, very good bank holiday weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a bit of a turnaround, considering I think it was a huge result to beat Cork at all.
I'm fully deserving of a really good performance.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it shows that they do have the capability. Can they just turn that now into something a bit more consistent?
My fear would be a bit of smelling the roses now after that. They're away to Finn Harps on Friday. There's a proper test of your mettle.
Yeah.
how poor Harps are going at the minute. I won't be at all surprised if Harps win that game. So we will. We'll check in with Kerry next week and see how things are.
Well, that's it. Like, are they walking around Chilino with the chest out after being beaten Cork? Like, and you know, it's the first week of May here. A lot of football still left to be played. So, hopefully they can, well, not hopefully nothing, but like they'll be hoping that they can extend this out to a bit of a run of form and turn some really poor performances that they put in throughout this year into some meaningful results.
Treaty United as well, a very equally surprising good weekend, 4 points, a rare win for them as well. So yeah, things looking a little bit brighter, but they are still bottom of the table.
They're still bottom. They managed to dig out a 90-something minute winner there against Wexford last night.
Manager has to go.
Yeah, well, this is it. So the fickleness of the whole thing. But I do think they were lucky as well. The keeper got a good paw to it. And it took a rebound in to get the 3 points. But look, fair enough, they did the job. And I don't think you'd give a shite how you got the win when you only have one already this season. So great weekend for them, has to be said.
Cove, they picked up 3 points. They beat Cork City. They couldn't follow up, though, on Monday. They were beaten at home by UCD. If it was away from home, you might say, okay, fair enough. But they'd be disappointed with that one there.
Disappointed you couldn't, turn the first win over Cork in a while that are probably, as I said, first one ever in Turner's Cross. So, really good start to the weekend. I think they went 1-0 up as well in St. Coleman's Park. They couldn't just drive that on to another win. But it does show that UCD have they can slug it out as well, which is a dangerous combination for the top of the table.
We've said it a few times, just going back to UCD again, you don't think a UCD has been a very solid outfit defensively. They've now conceded the fewest goals of anyone, 9 in 14. And one thing that I noticed about them against Longford on Friday, they're a fairly big side. Particularly their center halves, they're big old lumps.
Yeah, they're
there is a, there's physicality about them.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt about that. I think it's they're probably getting towards the right combination to run to win a title. It mightn't be this year, but I could definitely see it next year. You know, I keep going on about UCD's phases where they're very, very good, get promoted, maybe get instantly relegated in and around the playoffs and then put it together again. It seems to be a well-worn path while also supplying half the league with players. So, yeah, they meet a lot of the right criteria right now, it has to be said.
Mikey Raggett loves a goal against Longford. Did he get one Friday? He did.
Against Longford, yes, he did.
Yeah,
he got the opener.
Yeah, he's very difficult to shove off the ball when he gets it. Very impressed with Kieran Behan as well this season. He's a classy act. So couple of really nice players in that UCD team at the minute. Back to other teams in the division, though. Just the teams that did okay. We touched on Cove there. Finn Harps, 3 points for them over the course of the bank holiday.
Yeah.
Better than nothing.
Better than the kicking the stones. Yeah, they're on such a bad run to get a win against Bray, who are also on a very bad run. It's kind of really gone sideways for Bray in the last month or so.
We'll get to them in a second, actually.
But yeah, Finn Harps really needed that win. I think they've won one of their last five or something like that. I think that was against Longford in the penalty. That was out 4 miles outside the box. So yeah, like I think it was important that they did put a stop to that, but also that win puts them on 14 points, gives them a little boost. They're only 5 off the playoffs.
I think we've got a comment from Nigel about Harps later on that we might get in the hotline. So we'll keep moving along. Athlone, they picked up 2 points, the draw against Kerry and then the draw against Longford. I don't actually know why I have them in the OK section. I suppose when you look back at that, that's not a great weekend because they were playing an out of form Kerry at home. And they had the lead against Longford. Longford were very poor again yesterday in the El Clasico, and that was two very poor teams. I was disappointed. There were some positives about Athlone, though. They're much better organised. I think that goes without saying, really. Just look at them. They only won 3 games last season and 2 of those wins came in the first couple of matches. And then they went, 30-something games without a win under Ian Ryan, got their win this year. And now they have 6 wins this season from 13 matches. So they're much, much improved. But what impressed me about them against Longford yesterday was their work rate. The defence very much starts from the front. The likes of Lombardo, Ferry, they go and apply the press from the front and put the opposition under pressure. But their build-up play yesterday was quite lacklustre, really.
There was a lot of balls that never went anywhere, weren't close to going to their intended target.
They'd lose Brian McManus with injury early in the game. That wouldn't have happened. That wouldn't have been a big help, of course. But
a big help. But like
quality was very much on a premium in the game yesterday.
Yeah, it was. But from a loan perspective, it wasn't good either. A lot of balls were kicked away. But I do want to echo your sentiment of the. Defense started at the top. The press was very, very good. It was even. It was controlled. Good communication. I found, not that I heard on, but like I just felt like they were all on the same page, in what they were doing. So, I thought that they would if they'd won the game. I wouldn't have had too many concerns be honest.
Longford were very lucky with brilliant goal from Erhu. I suppose the reason I just have them in the OK section is how much they've improved from last season. That bit of work rate that I saw was good to see, and the fact that they're still in the playoff places. So it's not a disastrous weekend at all for them. Wexford as well, they had the victory over Finn Harps, but then they had that very disappointing defeat against Treaty. So I only have them in the OK bracket as well. I think we've kind of touched on Wexford already. So unless there's anything else you want to add, we'll move to the losers.
Good win Friday. There's no doubt about it. I think
expect that at home to Finn Harps. You'd expect that. You wouldn't have expected the result yesterday. So it was very much a mixed bag.
But it was also a 96-minute loss. You know, it wasn't as if they were dominated. you know, and conceded five against Treaty. So like, it's not earth shattering either.
No, okay. We've touched on Cork City. They were actually the only team that came away with no points, which is remarkable. I thought it was a very bad bank holiday weekend for Longford. We've touched on their two performances. We'll not go any further. Bray Wanderers.
Will we not?
What do you want me to say? Bad performance Friday, bad performance yesterday. We move on. No,
let's not talk about it, actually.
Yeah. Bray, we've I think out of the hotline this week, Bray definitely take up the most column inches. So if you've got a couple of things you want to say about Bray, you can. Otherwise, we can leave it for the hotline.
Like, just looking at them lately, you can see why they're losing. You know, some of the results that they've put in, like, you have to go back a long way. And I'm obviously looking at the results here. If we go back to the end of March for the last win, there's been a lot of really disappointing results. Even there on Friday, they lose to 10-man Treaty. Or sorry, the draw with to 10-man Treaty. I suppose Ring got a goal for them, which is one positive. I know there's a lot of concern about him.
Yeah, he's been coming in for criticism, isn't it?
That's one thing. But like, you can't go 7 or 8 games without a win whilst trying to get into the playoffs. I think that because every team is so bunched up and there's not actually a huge pile between them all, that this isn't, you know, a death sentence either. But they do want to, they should look to turn it around quite soon. Yeah, maybe they'll have a few tricks up their sleeve. Or, well, actually, here is one question. Let me just confirm this. I should have had this in stock.
Don't leave us hanging.
The boy Ferrazai, he didn't start again.
Oh. Yeah, as we said, O'Neill, Ferrazai, players we'd expect to be central figures.
Yeah. A former town man, Dean O'Shea, with an own goal as well. We're very sorry to hear that. But yeah, Cara scoring. Yeah, look, it's just not going well. But look, I think as I said, with the way the table is, like, they're 2 points off the playoffs. You know, on one hand, we're not overly happy with the recent weekend for Longford Town, but Longford Town are only 2 points behind them. It's not the end of the world.
Anyway, get to them again in the hotline. Let's move to the predictions league. A brilliant performance from James Macken last week. We argued that he was letting emotion rule his head, but maybe that's the way to go, Gary, because he got 2 correct scores, 4 correct results. So he
ten
got
points.
10 points. Yeah, that's one of the better performances this season. Stinking right. Week from us. Two results you, 2 results me.
Oh!
So, the listeners have clawed into that big lead you had. What I'm just trying to see, is that the top performance? No, you got 12,
I got 12
points
a couple
in
of
week
times.
7 and week 4.
Yeah.
But this is the best performance put up by a listener so far this season. So, well done to James last week. 10
he's
points.
He's on the blacklist, that fella.
2 points for Gary, 2 points for me. Listeners move on to 60 points. Move ahead of me. I'm now bottom on 57. I don't like that. Can't sack myself, but I'm in the under pressure camp like a few managers in the league. And Gary, you're still top on 68, so the lead has definitely been clawed into there.
Yeah, I don't like that now at all. But look, you know, I'm entitled, like, you know, Cork City, I'm entitled to have a bad week on my way to the title.
Right, this week we're going to be joined by Lionsy, who appears to be a Bohemian supporter. He's only got 1 Twitter follower.
He does... No doubt about it with Lionsy.
He doesn't use Twitter too often. He only seems to use it to try and enter the Predictions League every week. So here's your big moment, Lionsy. You're on the show. We are going to start with the first division games. We'll start with Athlone against Treaty. Lionsy going for a 1-1 draw, a BTS special. He's gone for a few of them, I can tell you.
He's playing the percentages. Were you... what did you make of Athlone? I know they were maybe a bit limited going forward, but were you impressed? I was very impressed with their press.
Yeah.
And I think that will cause a more of a problem for a team that's weaker at the back.
Yeah, that's like, a fair point. That's when I was thinking about this game earlier, that was definitely in my mind. If someone's going to win it, it's going to be Athlone. I wasn't impressed with the standard of football from the two teams yesterday. You can't blame the pitch. It's one of the best in the division. So a perfect day, maybe a little bit warm for players, but overall it was ideal conditions and it didn't live up to the occasion. There was a decent atmosphere, but it was a really, really forgettable El Clasico aside from the Urhu goal. So I'm going to follow Lionsy here and go for a 1-1 draw, but Athlone should be looking to win this, it goes without saying.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Athlone.
I think Treaty actually beat Athlone quite comprehensively earlier in the season, so.
Did they?
Yeah, I think so. Memory serves me.
Quite comprehensively?
Hmm. Let me just check on that here.
2-0.
Was it 2-0, yeah?
Yeah.
There you go.
One man's comprehensive, huh? Right, okay.
It's as comprehensive as anything they've done this season. So.
Yeah.
Moving along then, sticking with the first division, Bray Wanderers against Cove Ramblers, two teams that are very stop-start this season.
Yeah, the Battle of the Astros. I think this is going to be a bit of a slugfest here without a bag of quality. The one thing that is kind of playing on my mind is the fact that Akara scored for Bray.
Couple of goals recently.
Yeah. Could that be the difference maker here? I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Bray.
And I'm going to flip it and go 2-1 Cove. I'd be concerned about all the noise about Bray at the moment. Lionsy going for another BTS special, 1-1. On to the top two clash then at Munster FA, Turner's Cross, Cork City against UCD, second against first.
What do you think about this? I have a fair idea of where I'm going here.
Normal service resumed?
Yeah.
Comprehensive or not?
No, I think it's going to be a decent game. I'm going to say 2-1 for everything here. But I think everything that I say is going to be a 2-1 win to the home team, apart from one game.
So you're going to go 2-1 here?
To Cork City, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork City, but wouldn't be surprised if maybe they take their frustrations out on UCD, but given how strong UCD have been defensively, I'll not go for anything larger than that. Lionsy going for a 0-0. He's fancying a lot of draws, and why not for the five games in the Premier Division on the Monday were draws, and we had a good few draws in the First Division over the weekend as well. So Max Charles will be loving these predictions. Finn Harps against Kerry FC. Lionsy going for another 1-1 draw. We're really going to have to quota these draws next week, but that's what he's gone for.
Yeah, no, I'm definitely on the home side vibe here at the minute. 1-0 to Harps.
Yeah, I'll go 2-1 to Harps.
Okay.
And that brings us to Wexford against Longford.
Yeah, this has been... Longford Town always do well against Wexford, I'd say.
They do. First away win last season came at Wexford.
Yeah.
And without an away win this season, it could be deja vu.
Yeah, Emre, come back for this one game, please, and score again. And that was actually a very strange game because I think that goal was scored in like the 7th or 8th minute.
Mm.
And, you know, it's not that common for Longford to like score and just like, okay, that's it, that's shut up shop and no one else do anything in the game. So hopefully we can get a replication of that. I might try and head down to it. My travelling companion has decided to give me the middle finger. So thanks very much for that.
No problem.
1-0 to the town.
Yeah. You've got to be concerned about Longford's lack of not only goals, but they're not creating chances. Created nothing against Athlone yesterday.
Created absolutely nothing. Absolutely.
And likewise Friday, Barrett Taylor McCarthy,
nothing.
Header off the crossbar in the first early exchanges of the game. There was nothing beyond that. So that's massively worrying.
That is massively worrying. And like I will say, like I am happy to say, like, there isn't a player that I'm questioning their ethic or effort
Not really,
from a Longford perspective. Like, you know, I'm not... There was times that, like, I was, you know, I wanted to absolutely rip the head off a few of them yesterday and Friday. Like, there was, like, a dream sequence there a couple of minutes after Longford conceded the second goal in UCD. I think Keane Moore drove it off Taylor McCarthy. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was Taylor McCarthy. It nearly went in or something like that. It was a pure comical stuff. Like, I'd see it on some of these ESPN... Sports Center channel, whatever happens today, exactly. Like, and you're just like, Jesus, boys, can you not just blow it off the leg completely? I think I don't know what needs to happen, but we've definitely lost some of the impetus from last year where we were creating a few far more chances. And also, one thing that I want to see Friday, within reason, is probably 30 to 40 shots on the Wexford goal. This, I'm 2 yards from the line. I need to find out who I'm going to pass it to again and pass it like shite so that no one can score. Like, so the decision making from Longford has been really poor in the last few weeks. But like, just kick it into the net, drive it towards the goal, some way, shape, or form. It's just really frustrating. Like, you know, I don't know what we called it there. I think one of the games. Oh, it was the Bray game. I think Darragh Murtha was nearly through on goal, and he squares it across to Andy Parrish. And he was like, "What the hell is going on here?" Mm. Just hammer it into the net, please, Longford Town players,
like Arhu did yesterday. But you're going 1-0 Longford.
I am going 1-0 Longford.
Yeah, I'm going to go 1-0 Wexford. Hopefully I'm wrong. 1-1 for Lionsy there. Right, that's the first division. Into the Premier. Drogheda against Derry City.
Drogheda against Derry.
It's a fixture Derry have struggled in the last few years, particularly in Drogheda.
Drogheda against Derry. This was the crazy game last year up in Thing, wasn't it?
The what game? Brandywell?
No. In Sullivan and Lamb. I just can't remember the context of it, but I think you were at the game as well.
I think I was, yeah. What?
I can't remember. It was just like, it doesn't matter. This game is in, where do you call it? In Sullivan and Lamb,
Sullivan and Lamb, yeah.
1-0 to Drogheda.
Oh, okay. Drogheda conceded more goals than they usually do. I go 1-1. Dundalk against Bohemians.
Tough one here for
expecting goals here.
Yes.
I'm gonna go for a score draw here, as they say. 2-2.
A score draw?
Yeah.
Well, can I just ask, why are you saying that based on like how shy Bows are for the goals?
Because Dundalk have started to hemorrhage goals.
I see. Well, that's fair.
And you would have looked at recently, they had a home game against Shells, and Shells were in the same sort of funk as Bows, and you looked at that as a great chance for Dundalk to bounce back, and they were beaten. So they're just not ticking like they were, Dundalk. Now, every chance they could come out and win this game, and then Rennie will be under real pressure, but I think he'll get out of town with something. I'm gonna go 2-2.
Okay, I think the Dundalk will squeeze out of this. No, I'll actually go 1-1.
Okay, Lionsy going the same. Galway United against Shamrock Rovers. This could be a tricky game for Rovers.
Up in AB DC Park. No, I think they're gonna continue on. 1-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
1-0 to Shamrock Rovers. That's what Lionsy's gone as well. That is a tough game. Is that the toughest game of the weekend?
Be up there, definitely.
I will go for a 1-1 draw.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Shells against Sligo. Sligo Rovers.
I'm going to go for I'm not going to say a comfortable win, but I think Shelburne need to follow up on it. Sorry, go on.
Are Shelburne finding themselves?
I don't think so. I think they hadn't lost themselves too much. They were just doing a lot of stupid shit at the back in particular. I'm going to go for a 2-1 win to Shells.
Lions is going the same. I'll go for a different score, maybe. No, 2-1 is the right score because they don't keep many clean sheets at all. No. They're coming up against one of the blunter attacks here, the bluntest attack. So this looks a good opportunity for Shells at home. Pats against Waterford. You'd think this is a good chance for Pats to bounce back. And with Rovers having a tricky game away to Galway, they could put some pressure on the hoops here.
They could. Where is this game?
It's in Richmond.
What are you thinking?
Going to go 2-0 to St. Pat's.
Don't give Waterford any shout. Even the score. See, the thing for me is, like, it's always in the back of my mind. I know they're dire, Waterford, but, like, if Lonergan and Amand up front. That was a good little finish from Amand there last night as well. Against some Dock. I'll go. I think you've hit it already. I'm going to go 2-0 as well.
Okay, very good. And Lionsy going 3-1 to St. Pat's there. So that's the BTS Predictions League. Hopefully we fare a bit better this week. Likewise, the Bar One Bet and Charity Bet. We really need to act. We really need to up our game here a little bit, Gary. I think we might start just restricting ourselves to maybe some singles and doubles at this rate. Do you want to go first this week or will I?
You go first.
Okay, you've chucked me into the lion's den here. Shelburne on St. Pat's.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point, I think. First division is tricky, isn't it?
Oh, God, yeah.
I think I might just stay with a double here. Let me log into my account here and see if we're getting any little offers or anything. Nothing with the double, but there is the early payout on these. So if any of our teams go 2 ahead and don't win, it'll still be a winner, which could be useful. Ah, that's only going to get us 18.33 for a 10 euro stake. We're going to need something else. Do you know what we'll add in there? We'll go both teams to score between Dundalk and Bowes. So we've put the blight on that. That's definitely a 0-0 in coming there.
All right. What does that get you?
Let me just find the marketable team to score short there as you just about 8-11. That will get us 31.67. Okay. I'd nearly be inclined to settle for that this week. I might sacrifice a little bit to try and get something on the board. You can go a bit bigger. I've locked it in.
Okay, I want Shells and Pats.
You're going Shells and Pats as well.
And Harps.
Harps, okay. Shells. Pats. And we're going Finn Harps in the first division.
Yeah. And what are we talking?
Harps at home to Kerry. That's going to get you 46.75.
Beautiful. Lock just that in.
Take our medicine this week.
Yeah.
Lovely. Okay.
Not a bad return from a tenner.
No, not bad. And with the 2-up early payout, a little bit of extra security there as well. So, yeah, markets for all those games available on the Bar One Betting app. Gambling reserved, of course, for over 18s. Always gamble responsibly. See gamblingcare.ie. Thanks to Bar One Betting for their continued support of the charity bet. And again, if you have got a charity that's close to your heart, then get in touch and we'll take it under consideration for trying to give them a few pounds at the end of the season. But at the moment, yeah, they won't be getting a whole pile. But look, we'll keep on trying. Right, I think it's hotline time, Gary.
Hotline time, let's go.
Oh, is that already that time of the week? Right, BTS hotline. It's fairly busy, as you'd expect after a bank holiday.
I hope there's a lot of ref chat.
There is a little bit of that, all right. We'll start with the most recent comment that came in. That's Nathan O'Reilly for Kerry. Great win for Kerry against Cork City. Best performance of the season. Hopefully we build on that with a good performance and result against Finn Harps. Pat Walsh, Waterford fan. Team showed a bit of fight against Dundalk. We're unlucky not to win it. Hit the post and had a few chances from set pieces in the second half, but I still don't understand.
Made a couple of good saves, didn't he?
Mm. I still don't understand why Daly wasn't sacked a month ago. Ownership made a huge error keeping him on as long as they did. I'd have to agree with that. I really would.
Yeah, but like we've been kind of motioning towards that, and then like, you know, a couple of okay results, you know, make it a bit more difficult. But I think it was always going to be impossible for him to turn around.
I was stunned he wasn't gone after the 5-0 defeat in Oriel.
Yeah, yeah.
Thomas Tormley, thoughts on the 5 p.m. kickoff times? I really like it, I have to say, for the bank holiday.
Loved it. Yeah. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was great. No one home too late. Yeah, thought it was beautiful.
All the better in the good weather as well. Brian Doherty, with all the talent in that squad, Derry are excruciating to watch. Another latest.
Oh, yeah, they are. Just not
good enough, yeah.
No, they are. It's barely approaching football. A few years ago, I said, what did I say about Drogheda that time?
An affront to the game.
Affront to the game. Well, Derry have taken that moniker and really brought it to new levels that were previously unexplored. It's probably more fun to be watching Waterford as a Waterford fan.
Yeah, it's dire stuff. Ryan, absolutely sick to death of Galway conceding late on. It's getting ridiculous now.
Yeah, but also, you know, you're 2-0 down against Pats.
Yeah.
You turned it around, you know, swings around about.
Yeah. Swin Dub, UCD are top of the league. Let that sink in, guys. As I said earlier, it's kind of crept up on us that, like, when you have the lovely little feature on the stream, I get a little ding in my ear to let me know a goal has gone in, so I glance over at the screen and I can give the score update from other games to the viewers on LOI TV. And it's the results were coming in. It didn't actually dawn on me until we were just doing a bit of a recap at the end. You threw the league table up. I was like, oh, there you go. UCD are top.
Yeah, I didn't actually know in advance of the game. Mm. Even though we looked at the table before kickoff.
I suppose the game in hand as well has just skewed it that little bit. But
it has, but I still like to see just another team occupying that position is probably a nice thing to see.
And just to push you a little bit further on our discussion earlier, yes, on UCD, how long can they maintain this challenge? Can we get a race?
Well, we'll see Friday.
Yeah, fair enough.
Really sick. That's the first best time to see it. Like,
100%.
Yep.
Kevin Brett, Galway worked hard for the draw on Friday and worked hard to try to preserve a lead in Derry. Came away with 2 points, could easily have been 4. Poor decision by Williams to go off his feet for the Derry equaliser, leaving Dos Santos with space, which he used well. Yeah, it was a great finish from Dos Santos. Yeah. Right, as I said earlier, there's a lot of Bray content in the hotline this week. Seagull chat, strangest set of First Division results in memory. I think I said that on commentary a few times yesterday, didn't I? That it's just a bonkers league this season. As for Bray, the fans are unfortunately beginning to turn on Paul Heffernan. He's abandoned the system that worked so well for him last year and seems happy to stick to a failing formation and tactics at the expense of his job. And just to follow up there, we've got more here. Owen, can't stress enough, I hate saying this so much, but surely the end of the management of Bray. No wins in 7 and performances not improving and only getting worse. Even more painful than the 5-0 loss last year. Need fresh face and the summer window very badly to try and save the season. That's got a lot of likes, that comment from Owen. And then we've got another comment from a Bray fan saying something has to change at Bray. I find Seagull Chat's one interesting, that Heffernan seems to have moved away from the system that worked so well last year. Just, I found the team selection very interesting. I think he has been asked about it recently. I think Dan Gorman might have had an article out just asking about certain players not being in the team. So,
but the big system last year was actually Billy O'Neill. Like, very easy to have a system where for a lad that's absolutely bossing it every week, he goes out near it. Do you know what I mean? The system works then. Like, you know what I mean? You could have a system from the 1940s football, and if you like Billy O'Neill chucking in goals and assists and all the rest of it that he was at last year, sure, everything he touched turned to something last year. He was sensational. Even that goal, I don't know if you remember the winner he scored against Longford last year.
I
kind of scuffed it, and it could have rolled in. Do you know what I mean? If that was anybody else, it probably would have went out into the car park or killed a child behind the goal. Everything was just working for him last
the
year.
Only thing, like, this seems extreme criticism for me, and these people are watching,
yes, completely.
But these people are watching Bray week in, week out, and the likes of Owen, I know, goes to travel the length and breadth watching them. Seagull chat there is obviously across what's happening. So they're seeing more of Bray than we are. The only thing I would say is at the start of the season, now I think I've seen comments from Owen online, he fully believed they could challenge Cork City for the title, which I thought was bonkers.
Mm.
I suppose the fact they're seeing UCD do it now is maybe that bit more frustrating. But
but
everyone would have expected Bray to be in the top three at least. They're not. But at the end of the day, nobody really, outside of one or two people maybe, expected them to win the league. So if they finish sixth and get into the playoffs, what difference does it make whether they were second or third? Okay, there's been a big, big drop-off from last season. But Bray, if they go up, they're having a prayer staying up.
No,
this is the sad reality. And we were talking about this yesterday as well. We're talking with kind of fans that were at the Longford game. The standard is really poor this season. I'm sorry to say it. Now, in some ways, it's leading to very competitive games, unpredictable results, because everyone is beating everyone.
Yeah.
And even Cork now starting to get tracked back into it, which is great. And it'd be great if we got a title race. But there's not one team in the division, including Cork City, that are anywhere near Premier Division level. Shane, that goes to the town games, and we reference him on the show here sometimes, he went to Pat's Bowes last week and doesn't get out to that many Premier Division games. I think he was doing work in Dublin, went along to the game. He couldn't get over the standard of that game compared to what he's watching in the First Division every week. He said it was like watching a different sport.
Shane who?
Our mate Shane.
All right.
He was at Pat's Bowes and couldn't believe how good the standard was.
Oh, was he? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But we keep saying it. It's like I keep saying about Cork or even like UCD. You know, bar them, the second touch is a tackle for everybody else.
Yeah. But just to bring it back to Bray, yeah. The point I'm making is it's still early-ish in the season. You said what? They're 2 points outside the playoffs?
Mm.
If they finish in the playoffs by one goal difference,
who gives a shit?
What difference does it make?
Yeah, yeah. But I think the fear is now that the drop-off has been so bad they won't make that.
Mm.
Like, actually, I'm about to take the piss out of a lad. I'm after seeing a tweet here. Patrick Ferry's after putting up, you know, he had that volley across the
savage pass, yeah.
Yeah. He actually has that up on Twitter.
Right, okay.
Like, no disrespect to you, Patrick, but like...
Good player, I really like him, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
To soften whatever you're about to say.
Yeah, but like, you should be doing that every day. Every time you touch the ball, it should be something.
It didn't lead to anything either.
It didn't lead to nothing.
No.
So like, you know, if you know, maybe players are, you know, need a bit of a wake-up call themselves.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, do you remember that, what was his name? Was it Stephen Mallon for Bowes?
Yeah, the flick.
The flick. The flick that was seen around the world. Lost 2-0. Like, yeah. It was tragic. Like, that's the type of shit we're talking about.
Mm.
Anyway. Sorry, Patrick. You came up right at the wrong time on my feed.
He's in the for you section, is he? The algorithm knew what you wanted to see. That's it for this week.
Yeah. No, it's not. I want to drag up something here.
No, here comes the plunger.
Here comes no. The plunger's only for old shit. This is for current and existing shit. The ref for the Longford game last night.
Very poor.
Doesn't even begin to describe it how poor he was. Totally ruined the flow of the game.
Not that there wasn't flow, but yeah, not that there wasn't
any flow, but yeah. Any prayer, you know, bolt from heaven that might have come down that would have rescued that game, he was there and not in a good way. It was just unbelievable. Like, I can't tell you the amount of times, or like, I can't tell you because you were there standing beside me, but moving players back, taking throw-ins that, like, if you got a measuring tape out, you wouldn't get the difference.
No.
He didn't send off Maloney, which I thought he should have got a second yellow for the second challenge. and he actually fouled three or four more times throughout the game. No second card. Poor old linesman, assistant referees, hadn't a clue what was going on. Even there was one where the linesman over the far side had to step out of the way because the play, because it was happening so close to him. He still had to look to the ref for guidance. One of the weakest performances from a referee I've seen this year.
Really was shite.
And I was just thinking, talking to one of the lads there yesterday. Loughborough Town have been, they're probably 0-3 or 4, maybe 4 penalties anyway from the first 14 games of the season. And I'm not saying that I have receipts if anybody wants to pick me up on that, by the way. But also, for a team that isn't creating very many chances, you know, like Loughborough Town are one of the have scored the fewest in the league, in the division probably. For a team to be like missing out on 4 penalties, you know, I think I said it recently, like I said to a lad, I was like, why are you not getting all the penalties? Because like, they spend the most time in the opposition box, lad. They're there to get a bloody penalty. If it comes up that Loughborough Town are missing out on 3 or 4 penalties this season, after not spending, after spending probably the least amount of time in the opposition box, it's very frustrating. Really compounds the fact, you know, of a really weak performance from the referee yesterday. I think you mentioned to me before that he hasn't actually done a lot of first division games.
I was just going
to
say, I suppose when you're in the first division in particular, but towards the lower half of the first division, you are going to get a lot of games. And I noticed that particularly a few years ago when Longford were like second bottom for a lot of the year. They're getting referees that had very little experience. They're almost been thrown into those games as kind of testers. And you know, you're getting very inexperienced referees who are going to make bad decisions, and probably a touch of that with Longford so far this season. But like, I've spoken about it in the past. The lack of depth within the refereeing pool is a huge concern. I've talked about it in the past. Like, if the FEI want more referees, they have to be proactive about it. I just see kind of refereeing courses going up online. They're expensive enough. Could you make them free? Could you make a bit more noise about the good stories of being a referee? Like, we do have referees that are refereeing on a European level.
I like it. I think the point is, though, like,
can we get more ex-pros doing it? Like, how many, particularly in the last, suppose, 10 or 15 years, it's become very commonplace for, as soon as a player retires, he pops up on a coaching staff somewhere. Why can't we get a player or two to go down the refereeing route? You know, we need to be proactive about this, because there are few and far between good referees at the moment.
Yeah, but like, I think whatever about a good referee for, I think one of the things that doesn't actually need an ex-pro or allow a lot of experience is like, how can I not ruin the game for everybody but myself? Which is what the ref in the Loughborough game yesterday did. Do you know what I mean? Like, constantly.
I wouldn't totally hold that on him.
Oh he
lived up to the standard that was around him. In truth, it was a dire game all around. Bad football, refereeing.
I'm not saying anything about the football side of things. I'm just like, okay, how can I, the things that he can control? He made the wrong decision on all of them. That's my point. I'm not talking about, you know, even the red card that Maloney should have got or whatever. I'm talking about like being excessively rigid on placement of stuff. That's something that he can control. So like, we don't need, like, you know, we want a ref that has, this ref has never played the game, so how could he possibly know? You know, all that argument that you get all the time.
I know, but I would just point out probably the best referee in the world right now is a former player.
Who is that?
The Polish chap that did the World Cup final and Champions League final in the last few years.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Great. Well, that's fine. But like, other people can still do the job. All my point is, like, would say...
But that's my point. There's not enough people looking to do the job, and I don't see enough been done to address that issue. I mean, I... to counterbalance our argument here, we have been positive about some referees this season on the show. I highlighted Arnold Hunter. I'd like to see a bit more of him in the big games. Said before, who decided that Rob Hennessy is the best ref in the country? We always hear that when he's on the telly. Here's the number one referee, Rob Hennessy.
Yeah, who the fuck decided that?
Decreed? I'd like to see Hunter in a few of the big TV games, to be honest.
Yeah, same.
There was a crack at it.
And I think, and we'll close it off on that, to be fair to Arnold Hunter, we were a bit concerned about him because he hadn't done a game in such a while.
Yeah, he's talking about injury.
Yeah, and good to see that he's back. But he had a great game that day.
But again, he's come from the north. He hasn't come through. This isn't a lad that's come through the FAI's system or anything. So they're going to start. We're always talking about player development, coach development. I very rarely hear anything about referee development.
Right, well, that's the next thing we need the government to pay for.
And there's always that argument of whether they should be professionalized. But look,
no.
60 seconds on this. Why not? They're about the only thing in the league now that isn't. You're asking unprofessionals to keep up with professionals.
No, referees don't need to keep up with anybody. Well, they don't need to keep up with a bit with in and around the game, but like, no, we're not there yet. We simply do not have the money, lad. We just do not have the money. And there is a reckoning coming at the top half of the Premier Division. Actually, the entire Premier Division.
Mm.
There is a reckoning coming. We saw it last week with the output of the Sligo thing. Fair play to all them people that are doing it up there. I know they're bursting themselves, and there's loads of people that we'll never ever hear about that are doing Trojan work in the background. But there's teams at good journey above them that are absolutely losing, burning money up in that division. And you know, to require a payment, and I'm not saying referees don't deserve it. I just don't think we're in a financial position to offer that right now.
Okay, that's something we might pick up on down the line. But
I do like your idea of encouraging ex players that aren't. Yeah. Maybe not offer a coaching course and a clipboard and, you know, a League of Ireland logo binder out of it. Let's get rid of that. Get some players into refereeing.
I mean, you can definitely, some sort of fast track program can surely be brought in there.
Oh, yes, but you'd probably need a dispensation from the EU and the United Nations and UEFA and FIFA and everything else. Bullshit, lad. Turn me off, will you, before I get going again.
Right, that is where we'll leave it. That was this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Please do subscribe on Apple or Spotify or whatever platform you're listening to. For some reason, Spotify didn't seem to leave the option to leave a comment last week until a good few hours after the pod was published. So hopefully it'll be there this week. Do leave a comment under it. We do like hearing from people that way. And if you want to get in touch and leave maybe a longer form message, any of those wider debates we're having there about referees or finances or whatever it may be, we do have an email address. It's between the stripes 1924@gmail.com. I know some people maybe aren't that keen on.
Is it not BTS 1924?
No, it's between the stripes 1924@gmail.com. So if anyone wants to get us there, then please do, because I know maybe people aren't always keen to get in contact via social media or whatever. So if you want to give us maybe a longer form message, or you just want to get us via email, then we would love to hear from you. But otherwise, you can get us, of course, on Twitter and TikTok. But Twitter is probably the best place to leave your comments. So just search for Between the Stripes and you'll find us. But that was this week's show. We were brought to you by QuinnAV.ie. It was good to see Anthony yesterday. El Clasico. We all came away as friends at the end of it anyway. And once again, thanks to Bar One Betting. But hopefully we'll be taking a few quid out of the satchel this week. We've played it a bit safer with the charity bet. But look, we've rambled on long enough. Kieran Burke and Gary Riley signing out. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
Don't forget to subscribe wherever you're listening. You can also keep up to date with the latest League of Ireland news by following Between Stripes on X. Until next time, thanks for listening.